can start finding your seats. If it's a particularly good conversation, just keep right on going. You won't bother me. If it's not that great, if you're already looking for an excuse to, you know, get away from that person, go ahead and use this as your excuse. There we go. I'll give you both sides of it this morning. I'm just talking. What am I? Hey, just to tell you guys a couple of things to reiterate some stuff that's going on. Man, there are a lot of good. I don't mind. Those of you, here we go. We got a good. Those are just to reiterate some of the stuff that we've got going on around the church. Next month, we are going to the Outcry concert in New Orleans. We'll bus you down there, get you back. We'll have a great time together. We'd love to have you join us. Sign up today because we're going to buy the tickets tomorrow. So sign up today if you'd like to go to the Outcry concert with us. The other thing is our Cuba missions team is going next Sunday. So we're going to be in church next Sunday to be prayed over. I'm leading that one down to Havana. If you'd like to just keep us in your prayers. If you want to support us, do it that way. That's one of the biggest ways. If you'd like to give towards it, or if you'd like to bring baseball gloves, balls, anything like that, or medicine, Tylenol, Advil. I don't want your prescription stuff, right? Your expired stuff you're pulling out of the closet. I don't want to get caught at the airport with that. But if you've got Tylenol, Advil, just normal, everyday, just Pepto-Bismol, I don't know, just bring stuff like that. And we'd love to take it down there and share with them because it's hard for them to get those kind of things shipped to them or anything like that. So that's what they've requested. That's what we're going to bring. We want to empower them. And the other thing I wanted to ask, too, is last time I preached, I announced we had that sermons beta page where it was all our sermons online on the website with the topics and series and speakers. Who had a chance to maybe try that out? Wow. That's super successful. There we go. All right. You see why it's hard to get up here, right? You can preach whatever you want. People ain't doing nothing. What is all right? Well, if you haven't, go and check it. There we go. That resource is there. Hallelujah. Let's start the message this morning. Here we go. We're in Jeremiah 15:19 this morning. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. God is talking to one of his people, one of his prophets. He's telling him about the world. He's saying, you influence them. I'm giving you this word. I'm giving you this message. You influence them. Do not let them influence you. Go ahead and pull out your sermon notes if you have them. They're in your worship guide because I am going to throw a lot of scriptures at you this morning. And so I don't want you to hurt your fingers flipping. I want you to, but we'll have it on the screens. And it's in your guide, too. So if you want all the verses at the end of it, they're all listed there for you. It's an Old Testament verse. So I'll give you a New Testament. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us. The area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. What Paul is saying is our goal was to reach you. God gave us an assignment and it was you. He's talking to the church in Corinthians, and I want to throw that out to you today, that that's what the Church of Victory Harvest is about. God gave us an assignment, and it is you. Right? And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so grateful for that, that we're able to pour into your lives every Sunday, and we're able to pour into your kids' lives in Kids Zone and Heaven's Kingdom and do these different ministries and pour into you. But Paul is saying that's not the hope. We're grateful for that. We're really excited God gave us that assignment, and we're working to do it, but that's not the hope. And look at the next verse he says in 15, we do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, as we pour into you, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged. So he's saying God gave us this assignment. It was you. But then the hope is that as we pour into you, that your faith grows and it's enlarged. And then verse 16 ends it up so that. Right. So it's all these steps. And then you finally get to the equal sign. And that's these words right here. So that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting work already done in another's area of influence. We may preach the gospel in lands beyond you. And this is not a prideful message this morning that, you know, we do so much for you and we just need another person to fill a seat. And this is not a five steps to how you can be blessed more this morning. Let me put it this way. God is not going to bless you. God is not going to send all these things solely for your benefit. God is not going to put you in these positions of influence. He's not going to give you all these different things. The church, we're not pouring into you just so you can kind of bottle it up and hold on till Jesus comes. This is all for a reason that we pour into you. We had our assignment, but now that we pour into you, together we have an assignment, and that is to reach others, to expand the sphere of influence. That is to reach others, and that's what the hope of the church, that's what the hope of the world is. The church and the people in the church starting to live out the mission and the goal God had for us, that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you. You remember the verse that to whom much is given, much is required. And so I want you to start to apply that to your own life. What if you've been given? And then start to apply what will be required. Matthew 5:13, Jesus said it this way. You are the salt of the earth. And I like how another translation puts it. You are like salt for the whole human race. You are salt for the whole human race. And I asked this in the first one too. Let's see if you guys get it. What does salt do? It makes things better. Amen. Amen. In the first, you know, some people, you know, my doctor told me I couldn't have any salt. You know, salt makes things worse. Salt's going to kill me. And salt in general, what is the idea? What is Christ trying to get across here? Salt makes things better. We are the salt of the whole human race. Colossians 4, 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We make things better. And I want to, you know, throw that out to you. This is just a side note. This one's for free. What does Christ say? When the salt has lost its saltiness, when we stop making things better, we get thrown out. Are you making things better? So three ways for the salt this morning. If you have your outline, it's lined out for you there. If you don't, we're going to put it on the screen. Three ways that we can be salt this morning. The first one is in our manner. The way that we act. Mind your manners. That's not what I'm teaching this morning. But the way that we act, right? The way we act. And it's in Matthew 5:16. It says, make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do. Why do we want people to see them? And we'll praise your Father in heaven. That others, I heard a whole sermon preached on this. And, you know, sometimes some people err towards the side of, you know, we're all saved by grace, no works at all. Some people err towards the side of we need to work our way into heaven. And people, there's like a balance and there's usually a fight in the church. And I heard a whole sermon preached on why we do good works, why this and that. But he said it right here really clearly, right? So they see the good that you do and they glorify God. They glorify God in heaven. I have a quote I like from St. Francis of Assisi. This is not St. Francis the Sissy. This is St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Our manner. Let your light shine. And we're going to do context around that verse 15, Matthew 15, verse 14. You are the world's light, a city on a hill glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see. Let them glow so they will praise your heavenly Father. Let your good deeds glow. Why do we do them? Why do we have that? So that people praise the heavenly Father. And I heard it put this way. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. And it struck with me. That's not a verse, by the way. Some people start throwing out stuff. You don't have to look. It's just an idea that struck with me, though, because it's so true about Christianity. Because when you start to heal needs, you start to heal hurts and you start to fill needs, you start to gain the ability to influence people for the kingdom of God. Because you don't earn, you don't have that ability. You don't get that influence just by preaching it. Sometimes we get it backwards, right? We think if I just preach at someone, then they're going to go off and God's going to do this hocus pocus change in their life. And then they're going to come back saved and they're going to get in the church. And then I'm going to be able to minister to them. And we get it backwards because until we start healing hurts and we start filling needs, we have no right to influence people. Christ came in healing people and preaching. Everyone who came to him, he healed. Right? Because it's just this thing. We have so many ministries. We were talking about, you know, the one we've done in Haiti, and then we're going to Cuba right now. But we have ministries around the church, too. We have the prison ministry. Miss Donna's been starting up. She's done the last week after week after week in the ladies' side of the prison. It's been awesome. We've shown you guys pictures of the prisoners who have, you know, broken free of addictions. And then we've shown the pictures of the graduations. It's so awesome. And then this Thursday, three of the men are going to go into the male side of the prison. And there's 2,500 prisoners there waiting for Jesus. This is something we're able to do. It's a need that Ms. Donna saw, and now we're filling it. We have the small group. I'm just going to plug all the ministry. We've got the small group for the home repairs for the needy. They've been picking projects. Every month we've got a new project. They're in one right now. If you want to be a part, I'll do it right now. Fill out your connection card. Put it in the thing. If you want us to call us, we'll put you on one of the teams. But they find that need and fill it. Miss Becky Bork does the food pantry up here. And I've gotten to do deliveries for a couple of times. You know how easy that makes my job of outreaching when I show up with a truckload of food? Like that is like the easiest thing. Anything I want to say, people are receptive to hear it. Because we found a need. We let our light shine. We let it glow. And then we're able to influence others. And there's so many ways that you can get involved. And like I said, we do so many ministries. We've got the tutoring on Wednesday nights if you want to get involved with that. I'm forgetting some. I'm going to offend somebody this morning. But we have all these things. And it makes our job of spreading the gospel so much easier. But how are you influenced? Because some of you are already influencing people already, right? And you might not even notice it. You might think, and sociologists say that most people have 10 to 12 people that they influence within their sphere of influence, they call it. 10 to 12. And the way they figure it out is they say, take the 7 days of the week and pick all the people that you interact with in those 7 days. And if the time you act with those people adds to more than an hour for that specific person, they're within your sphere of influence. So some of you are already counting, right? I can see you already counting up your time. But if all the time adds up to more than 1 hour, they're within your sphere of influence. And this was interesting. I just thought, you know, there's about 40 or 50% of fathers that don't spend more than 7 minutes a day with their kids. And you do the math, 7 times 7 is 49, right under the hour. Some fathers don't even have their kids. And so that's a message for another day. We'll preach that another time. But my son Elijah, I try to read something to him almost every, I try to read something from the Bible to him. And he's only 2. And so I bought these books that are like children's versions of the stories. Because if you've ever read the Old Testament, right, you know you need children's versions of some of those stories, right? Amen. And so I bought it. But this particular children's version, I didn't vet it ahead of time. I was just reading through the story. And it was David and Goliath. And this particular book, it says David killed Goliath. And I'm just reading, right, and it just came out of my mind. David killed Goliath. And I'm thinking, well, maybe he didn't hear me. So I just kept on going, and we just went through the rest of the story. But the next day, he and I are wrestling. My son Elijah and I were wrestling on the bed, and he's got his hands up like this, and we're wrestling. And he says, I kill you. And I was like, oh, no. I'm like, listen in here, say that. And I'm like, no, buddy, we don't say that. We I pushed you over, or, you know, I tickled you. Yeah, I'm just trying to come up with stuff. Don't judge me. I'm just trying to come up with stuff for him to say, right? And I was like, no, buddy, we don't say what you say. You know, something different thing. And you can see his little mind, like, I know I heard you say that. I know I heard you read that. And he's trying to think back, like, what else did we read in that story? And we're still standing there where he's doing it. And he goes, I defeat you in the name of the Lord. And I was like, yeah, all right, that's better. We'll go with that. Yeah, go tell your mom that. You know, just use that one. But we're influencing. So anybody with a toddler or you've had a toddler, you know that you are influencing. Because you forget about the car seat with the 2-year-old in it when you're screaming at the guy merging at 85 miles an hour with his blinker off. You forget about what words are coming out of your mouth. And then you hear them at dinner time, or you hear them when you're wrestling with you hear them come right back. You're influencing somebody. And I found this video this week, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Go ahead and watch this.
Like, I do this all the time. And if I go out at the house with the door, Matt has his toys, and then Matt has all his toys.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Linda, listen. How many know there's a 35-year-old version of that living in that house, a husband who makes that face? It's Linda, honey, listen, Linda. And we just got the little 2-year-old version. Who are you influencing by your manner, the way that we act? The second one this morning, first way is your manner. The second one is our moments. Being the salt of the earth. Because God has you in specific places for a purpose. God has you in these different moments, these different intersections you have with people for a purpose. And if we learn to take advantage of them, we become the salt of the earth. Psalms 90 verse 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Because you're not in that office, and you're not in that workplace, and you're not in that school or that class or that semester or that area of your life. It's too shallow to think that you're in there just to get a degree or to get a paycheck. It's too shallow to think that God would go through all this trouble to put you in a specific place just to get a paycheck, right? It's too shallow to think that he would do all of that just so you can bring home some money, or that just so you can get a degree, or just so you can move on to the next one. But if we begin to realize that God orchestrates our moments. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And then in Proverbs, in their hearts, humans plan their course. You might think, my day is just random. I plan my schedule. If I can just get through it and get back home to my pillow, we are going to be all right. If I can just get this. But the Lord establishes their steps. There's a purpose to it. And when we begin to live out our moments, our intersections, the times that we come in contact with people, and we begin to live with intentionality. My prayer for this, and I told the first group this too, our prayer for you is that hell gets nervous every time you open your front door. Because if you're just kind of going through the day and you're just going to do whatever, they're not going to pay any attention to you. But if you begin to live with intentionality, all right, God, who do you have lined up for me? You're going to meet people after church today at lunch, tonight, tomorrow morning at your workplace. Who do you have lined up for me, God? I'm going to start taking advantage of it. You went through the trouble of bringing them in my path? Man, I'm going to make the most of it. We begin to live with our moments. Some people say, well, that's not my desire. I don't have that want to. I don't want to do that kind of thing. But it says, God will give you the desires of your heart. That's not that he's going to give you everything that you want. It's that he's going to give you the want to. He's going to give you the desires. He's going to put it in your heart because he knows he's already given you skill sets and passions to use. And so he'll give you the desire to reach people with those skills and passions. You know, when you have a serving passion from the Lord, you came in here and maybe you saw the curtains were crooked or something like that, right? I did that. If they were crooked, it's my fault. I'll fall on the floor. But you want to do, you have the gift of serving, or you saw that we needed help at the Thanksgiving outreach and you wanted to come and serve. Those of you with the gift of mercy, you see someone eating alone, or you saw someone sitting alone this morning and you'd say, well, who's going to go sit with them? You have that gift of mercy. Some of you have a gift of leadership, right? And you're sitting there thinking, I could preach this 10 times better than Ben is preaching it right now. Hallelujah. I could get up. Hey, God did that. God gave you that. Don't come up here, right? Come talk to me after we can discuss it. But God gave you that gift. God did that. He put that in your life. And we begin to take advantage of the moments. That's the hope of the world. The church taking advantage, living with intentionality. And the third way this morning we have our manner, the way we act, our moments. And the third way this morning is our message. What we're actually saying. And listen to what Jesus told people to say when he had healed them. And he said he wouldn't let them stay with him. He said, go back home. So he said, go home to your family and tell them, you guys need Jesus. You're going to hell. Hallelujah. No, he said, how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. What does he tell them? To go home and tell your household, tell those around you, tell everybody that you see. What's the message? How God had mercy on you. And in Acts 1:8, he gives the Great Commission again. He said, you will receive power in the Holy. This is when he's telling the disciples, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my, and everybody say this next word with me, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the end of the earth. You will be my witnesses. How many of you like daytime TV? How many of you watch Judge Judy, People's Court? Go on and raise your hand. There we go. Don't lie. You're in church. Here we go. All right. How many, you've watched or you've seen it, right? Everybody knows the setting of a courtroom. What is he saying that we need to be in that setting? Because we're not the prosecutor, right? Well, some of you might think that you are. We're not the defense attorney. Man, we're sure is not the judge. What are we? We are the witnesses. We tell of what God did for us. The mercy that God had on us. But, you know, sharing the gospel, it kind of gets this bad reputation. I want you to just do this little word game, fact pattern with me. If you want to, think about all the adjectives that you would use to describe, say, like a street preacher down at LSU Free Speech Alley. Try to think of how would you describe someone down there shouting? And those of you who've seen them, or you might have seen a street preacher, someone shouting about it, ranting, raving. Or better yet, if you haven't seen one of those, describe with adjectives that person on your Facebook wall that's ranting and raving about everybody going to hell. They might be sitting right next to you right now. Hallelujah. Keep your amens to yourself. No, think about, just describe those adjectives with me for a second. Begin to think about those words, kind of loud, obnoxious. When I was a freshman in college, I lived in a freshman dorm. There's 40 of us down a hallway. And our RA was this big guy. He played D1 football, but he had gotten hurt. And so he came after his freshman year and came to the college. And every Saturday morning at 6 a.m., he would pace. 6 a.m., I didn't stutter there. 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning, he would pace up and down the hallway. And he would start shouting. And he would shout, for those of you who are looking at naughty pictures in your rooms, God can see you. And like one eye comes open and you hear him like shouting out there. And you're like, oh man, Jesse's back. And he's like, for those of you who think you can sin with your doors closed, God can see you. And I'm like, oh man, you start to hear everybody wake up. Shut up, Jesse. Shut up. There's no sin going on at 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I am sleeping. Shut up, Jesse. And he would do that every Saturday morning. And it made my life miserable. But think about those kind. Describe those for me. Now I want you to give me the adjectives in your mind of the person, describing the person that led you to Christ. All right? And let me know if any of those adjectives overlap. Because most of the time, for a lot of people in here, I'd say 90%, they don't. And you might be able to tell me the message that was preached. Maybe you got invited to church, or you might not be able to tell me what they said to you, but you can describe that person to me. And a lot of times it has to do with caring and compassionate and patient. That's what we're called to be, the salt of the earth, the most effective. And I want to give you an assignment this week. Be able to give your story, your testimony, what God did for you, the mercy he had on you. Be able to give it in 3 minutes or less. Because a lot of times, that's all the time you'll have. We're taking advantage of our moments. That's all the time you'll have with people for the message. Be able to give your testimony, what God did for you. You know, be able to tell them, you know, hey, I grew up in church and I kind of lost sight of who God really was. And I wanted to make himself real to me. And I read in Matthew 7 that it said, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven, but the ones who do the will of the Father. So I decided to seek Jesus for myself. And he began to change me. And he began to turn me in a new place. And I promise you, I'm not exactly who I want to be. But man, I'm a lot farther than where I came from. And God has continued to work in my life. And I don't have to pay for my sins. He paid for them on the cross. And God has changed me. And I just want to share that with you. Be able to do it in a minute or less. Because that's what people want to know. They want to know, hey, what do you know about? What did God do for you? Our message. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it lays it out like this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. but do this gentle. Give a reason for the hope that you have. And then in Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. That's the mercy he's shown to you, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Bringing the balance to zero. That's our ministry. Getting to tell people, that's the best thing. Getting to tell people, you don't have to pay for your sins. They've been paid for. You just need to accept it. And God can come in and change you like he changed me. Let me tell you about it. I've got a friend that I've been working on and working on and working on. And we talk a lot, and we call and text and do a lot. But he must think I'm crazy, because I'll sometimes text him. I'll text him just in the middle of a normal conversation. I'll text him something like, hey, man, I'm praying for you. I think God's going to do something today in your life. And I'll just go back right to texting what we're talking about before. And it's just right there in the middle, a little text bubble. He doesn't know, you know, he's got to read it, because he's got to read the whole thing. And I just go back right to it. Or we'll be talking on the phone and I'll just work that in. I got loud. Did I get loud out there? Amen. That's an important point. I'll try to work that in. And we're just talking like that. I'll just say, hey, man, I've really been praying for you this week. And I really think God's got something lined up for you. And I think he's not a Christian. And you hear him kind of like stop talking. And I'm like, hey, yeah, we just keep talking about something else. I'm just working. And I'm praying for that day he's going to sit next to me. But until then, I'm going to keep sharing that message. I'm not going to force it down his throat. But man, I'm going to share it. Try to find your testimony in 3 minutes or less. And the second part of this message this morning, that is right. We have to take our manner, our moments, and our message. And then we need to begin to use them, right, to help people move the next step. And that's the second part this morning, the part that I really just, this is where I've been aiming for all morning long. And that's that you begin to use your gift to reach out to people. You begin to use your gift to make intentional community with people. In Acts 4:13, this verse is great. Acts 4:13, where it's talking about Peter and John. And I'll read it for you here. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, these are the church religious leaders of the day, and they perceived that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they recognized they had been with Jesus. And they say, these men are turning the world upside down. And the translators were really nice here. They're really nice in the way that they translated the word for ordinary and unschooled. Because I'll give you the Greek word for it, and you can go ahead and guess what they actually meant. The Greek word for this ordinary unschooled is idiotas. Right? These idiots are turning the world upside down because they've been with Jesus. And so I would submit to you that I fall under that category. I can apply because I can put my name on that list. These idiots. And what I would submit to you is that this morning you begin to think of the way that you can begin to live out your gift. You can begin to live out your calling. After the message today, we're going to have a short little meeting over here for anybody who wants to think about starting a small group. Anybody who wants to think about picking a passion they have, some skill set they do, something they do. They play sports. They're outdoors. They like to cook. They like to play games. They like to go to Starbucks. They like to read books. Whatever it is, whatever your skill set, your passion is, we're going to be meeting up here. And I want to encourage you this morning to begin to use that passion. Come up here and just find out a little bit more. Begin to use that passion to reach people. Because with our manner, our moments, our message, let us help you use that passion. Find a place for you to fit. You think, I can't lead that whole thing? Come up and pair up with somebody. Man, this is a way to move people one step. And this is a way to use something you already have. You remember the story of Moses with the burning bush when God is talking to him. And he's saying, you know, go to Pharaoh and do these great things and free my people. And I am has sent you and all these great things. And Moses, he's giving responses like, oh, like, no, 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 no. Like we would, right, if a bush started telling us. But he started, no, 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 I can't do it, God. You know, they're not going to believe me. I talk really slow. He started making up. So I talk really slow. No. But he starts saying these things, right, all the reasons he can't do it. He said, well, I don't have anything. I can't do anything. And God, it's funny. God says, what do you have in your hand? He's like, well, I've got my staff, my stick. He's like, all right, we're going to use the stick. And the stick becomes a big part of the story. Like, you see the stick show up everywhere, right? The Red Sea, when he's turning into snakes, all this different stuff. The staff, because God uses what's in his hand. What he's already got, what he carried into the meeting with God, God decided, hey, that's what we're going to use. Man, God doesn't care what's in your hand. He can use it. God can use you. And you know, that's why our small groups are so different every time. That's why we have this wide range. And then the next semester we do them. And there's this whole different thing. It's because it's your passions, your skill sets. It's who we are, the church body, reaching out. I don't want to get up here and tell you, hey, you need to lead this type of small group. And you need to do that. And you need to reach out to people. And you need to invite people to your home because of this. Man, you know what your strong is. You know what God wants to use in your life. Use it. Let us help you use it. Be a part of the process. Because, you know, if you want to live a reproducing life, that's kind of the goal of Christianity, right? To have disciples, make disciples, make disciples. If you want to live a reproducing life, what is the process for that? Right? You go and do something. You know how to do something. God has poured into you. God has taught you something. You know how to do it. You go and do it. But the next time you bring someone with you and you show them how to do it. And then the next time they do it and you are with them. And then what? They do it on their own. But see, the miracle here is there's one more step. They do it and they bring someone with them. That's what the discipleship is. That's what Christianity is. God pours something into you. Now give it to someone else. Don't hold it inside or God's not giving you anything new. Amen. That's good preaching right there. That's what that is right there. Andy Stanley had this illustration that I love. He said it bookends the Gospels, bookends Mark. Because when Jesus comes on the scene in the beginning of the book of Mark, he calls his disciples and he says, come follow me and I will turn you into. And if you've read the story already, you know what he turns them into. But if you've never read it, what would you think that Jesus, the one thing he says, the first thing he says, I'm going to turn you into. What is it going to be? His followers are going to be like better members of the community, better givers, better members of their church, better scholars. What did he say? I'm going to turn you into. I'm going to make you fishers of men. That's the call he gives to them. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And then at the end of Mark, when he gives the Great Commission and he calls them again, he says, go out and make disciples. He makes that same call because the world wants to know, right? I read a few different surveys where they had done over 65 million people and they'd asked a segment of them, but it was within a 1 or 2 point differentiated. If you know, survey, it's a good one, right? So Gallup poll, you can believe me on this one. A lot of times I'm more just trustworthy of facts and things like this, but they asked them and half said the number one thing they wanted to hear about was spirituality. Right. And that looks a lot of different ways in the world. Right. They want to know, you know, where am I going to go after I die? What kind of spiritual energy can I get here? What am I going to do? What's my purpose in life? All these different things. You know where the answer is. It's in the church. People want to know. And so we need to tell them. We're fishers of men. But so many times we say, well, no, you know, that's not my gifting. I'm not gifted to spread the gospel. I'm not gifted to go out there and do it. That's your gift or someone else's. Give me something else. Give me another message. Give me something deep. You got anything deep? You want to tell me something really deep? And what people mean by that usually is give me something confusing. Because a lot of people just want to walk out of here, right, get in their car, and I don't know what he said today, but it was deep. Woo! That was some deep stuff. Give me something else. Give me something deep. You want deep? I'm going to give you deep this morning. We'll give you deep. The person sitting next to you at your office or in your workplace who is drowning in their sin does not need the Greek word for life raft. They just need you to throw them one. That's deep. I got you deep right here. Come on. It's not something. There is a place for apologetics in the church and there is a place for deep scholarly study. But man, if that person is drowning, just help them. Tell them about Jesus. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're letting on this morning. Amen. You can't get away from it. 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 5. Preach the word of God. And you say, well, you're the preacher, man. You preach. No, this is for everybody, right? He's sending this to everybody. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Whatever's going on in this country, whatever's going on in this world, preach the word of God. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. And verse 5, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Here we go. Work at telling others the good news. You might stink at it. You might be the worst person in this church at spreading the gospel. You might flub over your words. You might have it all. I don't work at it. Telling people the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has for you. You want to fulfill your ministry that God has for you? People say, well, I want a word from God. I want a word of God. What God wants me to do. I don't know what he wants. Right here. Well, no, something more. No. Right here. The ministry that God has for you. Work at spreading the good news. And I don't use this word very often, but it's God's expectation of you. Romans 10, verse 14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless people in Victory Harvest Church go and tell them? And how will anyone go unless someone gets up here on a Sunday morning and tells you that it's your job? You got no excuse now. That's what God expects of you. We are Christ's ambassadors. And you know, it's a scale. It honestly is. And Paul lays it out when he's talking to the church in Corinthians in 3:6. It's a scale. 1 Corinthians 3:6. And he says, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow. And he keeps laying those things out. He said, like, the foundation is laid, but God is building it. And people did different things. But God is the one who gets the glory. God is the one who gets the glory. And I'm inviting you this morning to be a part of the process, because I thank God for A to Z conversions, people who go from, you know, the pits of hell to the pearly gates, and they've got all at once, and God does something miraculous. But for most people, it's a process. Most people, it's steps that they take along the way, and I'm inviting you to be a part of one of those steps. When I pray this morning, I say amen, and we meet over here to talk about it, I'm inviting you, just come and be a part of one of the steps. Be a part of the process. You know, I'm going to end with a story this morning. You can put away your notes or whatever. I'm going to end with this story. And some of you may like it, some of you may not. But a few years ago, I had a chance to take a train up the middle of India from Bangalore to Delhi. It was over 2 days. I was all alone. It was going to be an adventure, right? And I had a chance to take this train. And so we got on about 1 a.m. And so it was completely pitch dark, and you couldn't see who was in the room with you or what was going on. So everybody just kind of settled in, and I just tried to sleep on my backpack. And I don't know who's in there with me, but I'm going to sleep. And I wake up to this sound that you don't normally hear in your soundscape of life. You don't expect to wake up to this sound. And I woke up to a belch. And I don't have time to debate with you the finer terms of belch versus burp, but you understand with a belch, blah. Right, I wake up to this belch and I kind of peek open one eye, like I'm kind of forgetting where I am. And I look over, and there's this Indian guy sitting on the bed across from me in this cross-legged Rafiki from Lion King type style, kind of meditating. He's got his eyes closed, and I'm like, I'm watching him, and then suddenly, blah. I was like, oh man, so that's where it's coming. And he did this for 30 minutes. Every few seconds. And I have a video of it, but I didn't want to show it to you because I want you to enjoy your lunch today. And so I did take a video. So if you want to see it, come see me next week. I'll show you the video of it. But he did this for 30 minutes. So I'm pretending like I'm asleep, right? Because I don't know how to wake up to that. I don't know how to, you know, get into that flow of the conversation. And so I wake up after he's done, and we're starting to eat breakfast, and I just kind of worked it in, like, hey man, what was all that? And he just told me, he said, well, I'm expelling the bad spirits. I do that every morning. I was like, you do that every morning? And so, yeah. And he's like, yeah, man, I do it. 2 days is a long time on a train. And I was like, okay. And so I started, you know, I was starting to kind of work the way into, you know, the bad spirits, kind of work my way into talking about Jesus. And he didn't want to talk about anything about religion. That was it. He just gave that explanation, and that was the end of it. But he did want to talk about travel and things. So I just kept talking to him. And, you know, the day went on, and we're all stuck together in this little train car. And so I'm reading my Bible. And I'm reading my Bible a little bit later in the day, and he asked me, and he said these words. He said, you know, what do you think the way to spiritual enlightenment is? I'm like, that's not an open door. I don't know what is. All right. And so I started talking to him, and he was open more now to talking, you know, about some spirituality things, but he couldn't accept that Jesus was the only way to God. The way he saw it, you know, we all become gods, and there was all these different ways up the mountain, and he would talk a little bit, but he wouldn't. And so I didn't push it. I just kept praying, kept reading my Bible, kept talking to him. But 2 days is a long time on a train. And I came back one time later that night, and his name was Del Madre, and Del Madre had sold our beds to this other family that had gotten on the train. And he had sold it for a little bit of money and these little candies that they give to the idols in India. They present them to the idols and then they eat them. So I got candy and no bed. And so I'm a little mad at it. I don't get mad at him or anything like that. We moved to a worse part of the train, but we're still together. And we're eating our candy, and we're having a fantastic time, and we're still talking. And that night, after we had made the move, he started to talk to me about his life. And he's telling how he was leaving his wife in Bangalore, but she was going to divorce him and take their son and stay there. And he had to go work in Delhi, and his life was going into shambles. And so I began to ask him, you know, did he think there were any sins in his life that was bringing this judgment of God? That's not what I asked him. Some of you are already nodding your heads like, yeah, the judgment of God is on him, right? No, right? I asked him if I could pray with him, because I know a Jesus who puts families back together. I know a Jesus who put marriages back together, who can repair lives. And where 24 hours before he wouldn't even talk about religious things, now we're starting a prayer together that begins with, Jesus, I know you hear us. It's a process. And the next morning, and the whole next day, we got to talk more, and I got to share verses with him. And then the next morning, when we arrived in Delhi about 4 a.m., he was getting off at an earlier stop than I was. And so it's madness trying to get off these trains at the right things. You don't know which stop is what. And he's got all his bags. He's getting off. And I remember we just got to shake hands, and he said, thank you. And he got off. And I don't want to be anticlimactic this morning. I know it's going to be for a lot of you. But I have never seen or heard from Del Madre again. And I tell that story for a very specific point. I know it's not this grand hoorah story that we normally tell about these kinds of things. I tell it for a very specific point this morning. And that is, we do not shy away from being involved in the steps God has called us to be involved in just because we can't see the end product. And then we don't shy away from being our part in the process just because we don't get to be there at the harvest. I don't know who picked up Del Madre and the other thing, but I pray that they're being willing to be part of the process. I planted, Apollos watered, God brought the increase. God gets the glory. And so many times we cheer and we applaud for the harvesters in Christianity, and rightly so. But we don't forget the ones who planted, the ones who watered, the ones who worked along the way, the ones who drove a rod in the ground to keep the trees straight. We don't lose sight of that. And so this morning, I'm inviting you, be a part of the process. You might not be able to see the end. You might not be able to move people A to Z and see all the things and get the glory for it. But remember, God gets the glory. Be a part of the process. Let's pray this morning. Father God, I thank you for every heart in here, God. Every ear that's listening right now, God. I thank you, Lord, for their hearts to reach out, Father. God, that we begin to give the message of your great mercy on us. We begin to change people's lives, God. We begin to be willing to use our skills and our passions, God, to bring other people into the kingdom. And most of all, God, I pray that we don't shy away, Lord, from the parts and the moments and the people that you've called us to just because we don't get to see the end. I pray that, Lord, that you let us work just as hard with as much fervor, God, as we ever would have, Lord, at the moments that you've called us to those people's lives. Because we know you get all the glory. So I thank you again, Lord. Let us go out this week and live with intentionality. Let us take every moment, Father, and see it as a moment sent from you, God, to spread your message, to be your lights in this world. Let the nations rage, God, you're on the throne. We thank you for that, Lord. It's in Christ's name we pray, and all God's children said, amen, amen. Amen.